Father, thank you for truth that we don't have to walk through this life blind to truth and get hammered with ugly reality when we die. You've given us truth, and I pray that this truth would go forward to those who believe and those who don't believe, and that they would be encouraged and prompted, God, with your word. I pray these things in your name. Amen. Just want to spend time to talk about a very needed topic to always have at the forefront of our minds is the reality of hell. Hell is a real place. Hell is a real place. You need to understand that despite what you may think or what you may believe or what you may feel, whether you are a believer or not, people are dying by the second and they are going to hell, and it is real. And while we here on earth discriminate on skin color, and hell does not care about skin color. While we judge people on this earth by what they wear, what they look like, what they dress like, where they live, how much influence they have, what their life circumstances, hell will take them all. Hell does not care. It is the enemy of every human being alive right now at this moment. There is no bias in hell. Hell waits for everyone. It's been around before your great, 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 great granddaddy. It is here, and it is taking any soul that comes to it apart from Christ. Now, if there is something to be terrified about in this life, it is the thought of going into an eternity of hell. And it is real. I'm repeating it again because it must prompt us to share with other people. It must prompt us to really look at our own life and understand that when people say only God could judge me, people make these statements. God will judge you, and it's coming rapidly. Just like you never thought you'd be 50 or 60 or 30 or 40 or whatever, you will meet God and you will experience judgment apart from Christ. There is no return from hell. There's no talking your way out of hell. There's no lawyer. There's no court. There's no appeal. Your accomplishments, your tribulations, it won't excuse you from the judgments of hell. Things can go on in this planet from elections to murders to triumphs to championships. Hell is still there waiting for souls. It's a place of black darkness and fire. I mean, God's going to remove the light from flames because he says it's eternal blackness, it's eternal darkness, and we'll get into some scriptures later. He's going to take out the light from the flames. So there's flames in hell, and there's also darkness. It's not like it's a bright place of flames. All you hear, Jesus said, all you hear, he said, is screaming and wailing and yelling. It's a horrible place. It's dreadful. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven, and he warned against it over and over and over again. How we treat one another, our lusting after one another, our rejection of God, our rejection of the word. And he spoke a lot of that talk about hell regarding those who claim to believe. Regarding those who claim to have a relationship with God, he warned them the most about hell. Because he loves us so much. Listen to what I'm telling you. Hell is a real place. And any person that has the slightest bit of wisdom would look into what I'm talking about. The truth of the gospel that genuine Christians live by every day, it will always remain incomplete if it fails to warn and remind the listener about the reality of a never-ending hell fire. A place where you were conscious. Jesus gives an example of somebody who died and went to hell. And you know what they did? It says that when they die in Luke 16, this particular man was rich. It says when he opened his eyes in hell, it says. There was no time. There was no journey. It was just he opened his eyes in hell. So he dies on earth. He closes his eyes on earth. This is an account in Luke 16. And opens his eyes in hell. And he is begging to go back and warn his family. He's begging and he's told no. They have the word of God. They have all the messengers of God. If they won't believe them, they're not going to believe you. There was no plea this person could make. And they were suffering so much. And there was no relief from the suffering that they were given. It's conscience. Jesus says that it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why both weeping and gnashing of teeth? Well, it evokes all of human suffering. Think about it. Just think about human suffering. There's two types of human suffering. There's human suffering that is external. Torture, right? Physical pain. That makes you want to gnash your teeth together. You want to grind your teeth together. Well, Jesus says hell is like that. There's so much actual physical pain in hell. It is so painful that Jesus says it's a place where you're continually gnashing your teeth together. You don't ever get numb to it. But there's a second type of pain that humans feel. It's a deep emotional pain, a pain inside, a pain that only evokes weeping. When you lose your firstborn child, when you lose someone that you love dearly, when something very, very egregious happens inside of your heart, you weep. Jesus also conveys that hell is like that too. And listen, you look around you. I'm reading things in the news about people who are decapitating. I read a story about a man who decapitated his mom and took a selfie with it. I'm reading about people who are luring little girls on Facebook and making them do sexual acts. I'm reading about people, this man just a couple of months ago attacked a couple, killed them, and then started chewing on the dead man's face. No drugs in his system. I read about cover-ups and conspiracies and wickedness, rapes of children, sexual trafficking. There is no fear of God. There's no reverence of God. And God is dealing with it. Do you understand that apart from Christ, all of these people are going to hell? And it is our job to tell people about the love of Jesus Christ. Because in Psalm 9:17, it says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Let ISIS have its day. They're going to hell. Apart from Jesus, they are going to go to hell. And it's far worse than anything they've ever done, that place. The level of torture that they will get will far outweigh what they've done. It is overwhelming the torment that they will experience for the crimes that they committed towards a holy God and towards humanity. And every nation that forgets God, including our nation. I just want to say a couple more things. Just some points about hell. Some biblical points. But one of the points I want to say is this. Most people will go to hell. That's what Jesus teaches. Man, this is real. You wouldn't think about this. But do you wake up and say, most of my coworkers are going to hell. Most of my family members are going to hell. Most of the people on my block are going to hell. You don't think this way. But the Bible says, guess what? Renew your mind, because most people will go to hell. Enter in through the straight gate, Jesus said, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in that place. Because narrow, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few, look at that, few there be that find it. Few find heaven. Heaven is a place rarely that people go to. We talk about heaven as though as soon as you die, you're automatically there. Wrong. When people die, assume that is not the place that they go apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus says that few people find heaven. The Bible says that many professing Christians, and I'll say many if not most professing Christians, will go to hell. Because in the context that Jesus talks about this in Matthew 7, and then from all his different parables he talks about, and that's a whole nother message about professing Christians. He says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name and cast out devils, and in your name we've done works? And then I will tell them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Depart from me. Because there are many people who profess to be Christians, and non-Christians look at them and say, you see, that's why I don't want to be a Christian, because look how fake they are. Jesus says in Matthew 23 about those Pharisaical Christians, he says, you are making your followers a double convert to hell. People look at that behavior of a lukewarm Christian who is not really having a relationship with God that prompts them to do anything. And they're discipling people. Even a lukewarm Christian is discipling people. They're teaching people that God, Jesus, he's not worth listening to. He's not joyful. He's not all satisfying. He's not good. They're discipling them into hell. Because they say, Lord, Lord, with their mouth, but their action and their behaviors, they look exactly like everyone else that does what they want to do, and they don't obey God. Hell was originally designed for Satan and his demons. Did you know that? Matthew 25, verse 41. And by the way, the verses I quoted before was Matthew 7. Was in Matthew 7. But Matthew 25, verse 41, it says, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, this is Jesus speaking, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Revelation 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Understand that Satan is just as scared about hellfire as you should be. When Jesus walked the earth and he would walk past demons, they would freak out because they thought it was time for them to go to hell. One demon begged, they begged Jesus to put them into the pigs. The world of darkness, the spiritual world, people go and praise them. Satanist this, say Illuminati this, Illuminati that. They're going to go to hell. And there's no stopping the judgment of God. They are afraid of Jesus. It's not evil and good or both equal, and there's this fight going back and forth, and like it's the dark versus the light, like, you know, some the dark side versus like the light, you know, whatever, some Star Wars equilibrium. No, good is far more powerful. Evil is afraid of good. Evil trembles at good because they know that good is going to triumph. Demons trembled at Jesus Christ. They tremble at his name. Because the fate of all wickedness and evil in spiritual places in the kingdom of darkness is hellfire. And it was made for them in the first place. Understand, hell is conscious torment. Some people say, oh, hell is a place where you get destroyed and you just kind of evaporate and you go away and you disintegrate. Wrong. Jesus said hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth in Matthew 13, 50. It is a place where you are consciously being tormented. And Revelation 14, 10, when it talks about Satan, when it talks about the false prophet and the Antichrist that's coming to this world, we're
doing a Revelation series on this. They're going to be thrown into hell. And the Bible says that they will be tormented with fire and brimstone day and night. Mark 9:48, Jesus says, this is where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Man, your body is going to, he's going to give you a supernatural body just to survive an eternity of hell. It's conscious torment. Another Bible point. Hell is eternal and irreversible. Irreversible. As I mentioned, Revelation 14:11 is that when the Antichrist, when it describes the Antichrist and his false prophet, when they're being tormented in hell, it says their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night. That describes you, me, any one of us that enter into hell without Christ. That enter into the next life without Christ. It's no rest. You get no rest. I'm telling you the truth, because I hope what you see, you understand how irrelevant everything else in this life is. What matters is, where are you with Jesus Christ? If anyone's name is not found in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire, Revelation 20, verse 15. Now that's after hell. Even hell is going to get thrown into the lake of fire. That's another point. But it's still true. It's irreversible. Once you are condemned to hell, it's done. It is. You cannot change it. You cannot change it. And everyone is going to live forever. Every human being lives forever. We either live, God, Jesus said in John 5, he said that we either live into the resurrection of life. We live with God in heaven. We live in a new kingdom and we live in a new heaven and earth. We live in joy and peace with God forever. Or we live in hell. We live in the lake of fire. We live in torment. There's two places. We're all going to live forever. Nobody disintegrates into nothing. Everyone, another point, has only one life to determine where they're going to go. Hebrews 9:27, we are all, from man is appointed to die once. There is no reincarnation. There's no coming back. You have one life to live. One life to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ as Lord. If you do not do that, or if you put it off and you leave this life, you will spend eternity dealing with the repercussions of it. That's what the Bible teaches. And I'm being direct with you because I want you to know this message and spread this message to people. Spread this message to people. Your biggest problem is not that you can't pay for your mortgage. It's not that you can't pay for all these other things. It's the reality of hell and where you stand with Jesus Christ. You may say, well, I'm a believer, but I still have that problem. No. Because if God gave you his son, if he gave you the best of himself to spare you from hell, how much more will he give you everything else? How much more will he help you? If you don't put your trust in Jesus, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He that believes not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on them. If you don't believe on Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you will go to hell. Now you may say, well, that's really, really hard. But you know what? It's not. It's not hard. Well, how can you send me to hell for a life of sin? Well, how can we send people to jail for 106 years for doing a murder that can take them 5 minutes? How much more so when we commit a sin against a holy God? The measure of a crime is the sentence of a crime is measured by the value of it, by the gravity of it. And we have sinned directly towards God. David said, against you and only you have I sinned, God. The true fact is that every single sin you've done and forgotten about was against a holy, loving, forgiving, merciful God that gave you breath, that gave you air, that gave you a heartbeat. And most of the world wants nothing to do with God. Even people who profess to be Christians want nothing to do with God. And I'm begging you, repent. Believe on Jesus Christ as Lord. Abide in Jesus Christ as Lord. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I tell you to do? Luke 6:46. Why? Abide, throw yourself in Jesus, obey him, talk to him about your sin, talk to him about your imperfections. He's merciful, he'll have you. Believe on him. Father, I pray that you use this message anyway, Lord, to to just convict hearts and help us to take your word and truth seriously, Jesus. In your name, amen.